20 years I've been married.
I think it was 27 or 28. Isn't that terrible? I'm getting old. Yeah, it is a topic that I think we all have to be challenged on, and as is often the case whenever I work on a teaching for anything, I find that the Lord always pricks my heart about the areas that we just can even become lazy in, or we can just kind of become lackadaisical and think, you know, oh, you know, I've been married for long enough, you're settled into the routine, you know, and so I think it is a challenging area. I titled it Blessing Your Husband. I don't know that blessing is the best word, but, you know, I think when we look at Scripture and we see the commands that we're given to respect our husband and to submit to our husband and stuff, sometimes we can kind of get stuck on the technicalities of those things. And yet the reality is when we look at all of Scripture as a whole and all of our relationships and we're called to love one another, there's that idea of giving someone a blessing. And if you look up the meaning of the word blessing, it means a special favor, a mercy, or a benefit. So not a biblical definition, just a general definition. It's that idea of doing something special or showing extra mercy, doing something that's going to benefit that other person, which if you think about it, that's what love is. We're when we show love to someone, we're giving them something that they may not necessarily deserve. It's something that sometimes looks more special than other times, and it benefits them in some way. But I think when we think about the word blessing, we kind of use it casually in our society. You know, somebody sneezes and we say bless you, and we don't even, like, it's an automatic thing. We don't really mean, like, I hope things go well for you and you have a special favor just because you sneezed. I mean, it's kind of, I don't even know why we say that when we sneeze. So, you know, or we'll say, you know, you'll hear an older woman say, oh, bless you, honey, for, you know, when she sees you with all your little kids in tow on Sundays or something. But I think when we think about the framework of how God blesses us, it gives us a different picture of how big of an idea a blessing is. And so I think that's where we have to start, and I think that's where our motivation comes from. It's where our example comes from as we think about that relationship first that we have with the Lord and how He's blessed us. So we are no doubt blessed by the Lord. Before we even think about our husbands, I want us just to take a little bit of time and just think in your head the way the Lord blesses you. It's very easy to first rattle off, you know, I have a home, I have things to eat, I have, you know, clothes to wear, I have money to pay my bills, I'm blessed with a family. You know, you can think of all those temporal things in a sense, and they're wonderful, and we should be grateful, and we should take time to think about those blessings from the Lord. But the greatest blessing we have is our salvation, is that gift that He's given us of that we do not in any way deserve, that blessing that He's forgiven our sins just because we trust and believe in what He did on the cross for us. Romans 4, 7 and 8 says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Think about that. Like, that's big. That's eternal. That's something that is just that epitome of a blessing, a special favor, a mercy, a benefit to us. And so those words in Romans were actually Paul quoting David. And I want you to get the context of this because I think this is just really a very overwhelming thought. David wrote those words in the Psalms after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and after he had murdered her husband. And as he felt that weight, that enormity of his sin, and as he confessed that to the Lord and he realized what God's forgiveness looked like, that's what he said. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. And yet, if you think about it, our sin is no different than David's. While we all gasp when we think of that story in Scripture, you know, of the horrible things he did, our sin is the same before the Lord. And so what an amazing thing to think of the blessing that we have in our salvation. And ultimately then, we have to think about that blessing is given to us for a reason, okay? Not because we deserve it, but it's given to us so that we can give to others. And so as we think about what God has done for us, how He's blessed us, I want you to think specifically about that gift of salvation that He offers to us, that ultimate illustration of what mercy and favor and benefit is. And so then we are called to be a blessing. As we recall that blessing He's given us, we need to think about how we're called to be a blessing. In Zechariah 8:13, again back in the Old Testament, it says, And it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah, house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Isn't that neat? Like, the Lord's plan for Israel, to save Israel, was not just so Israel would be saved. It was much more beyond that, that Israel then could be a blessing to other nations, that Israel could be a blessing to other peoples. And so, as believers, that's what we're called to do, that high calling of being a blessing to others, of sharing that gift of salvation, of sharing that gift of love that God's given us with others. And in Matthew it says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." So we go that direction that David went. We think about the kind of favor and mercy that God showed him. And we see that we're called to do that same kind of thing, even to our enemies. Now, I hope that we don't think about our husbands as being our enemies, but there are days when we look at them and we just, you know, you grit your teeth, or you're struggling with something that you just disagree on, or that maybe you just see things from a different perspective on some issue, and you can start to feel like you're on opposite sides of the court a little bit. And yet that's what we're called to do with even an enemy. And our husband's not our enemy, but even with our enemy, we're called to love them. So I want that to just be kind of the basis and the framework as we think about how we want to bless our husbands today as we talk through this. I want you to keep thinking back when you think, like, gosh, this is hard what we're being called to do, or, you know, this is challenging, or this takes effort to bless my husband. I want you to think about why we're called to do that. It's because we've been called to be a blessing because we have been blessed. We see in Scripture numerous calls for a wife to be a blessing, even though that word is not specifically used in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 11, it describes the wife as being the glory of her husband, or the glory of the man, just as the church is to glorify and submit to the Father, or to Christ, then the wife is called to submit and glorify her husband. And so ultimately, it's that idea of giving him a blessing, of glorifying him, of reflecting that love of Christ to him. In Proverbs 18, it says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." If we're to be something good in our husband's life, then I think that's supposed to look a certain way, okay? It shouldn't be that idea of fighting against him, but instead blessing him and encouraging him. Proverbs 12 says, "A wife of noble character is her husband's crown." Again, that idea of a crown would be a blessing, a special favor, a special benefit. So as we think about this today, I'm going to bring in numerous different scriptures, a little different than sometimes where we look at a passage of scripture and kind of break it apart and look at what it calls us to do. This is a little more of a general kind of teaching. First thing I want to challenge us and remind us of, that blessing our husband is a choice. Okay? We have a choice whether or not we do this. God in his wisdom, which I just still don't fathom, it's some of those things about his character that you wrestle with and you try to understand and you accept him and you know him, that they're true, but until I think we see him in his full glory, we won't ever completely understand the choices he gives us in this life. You know, if he knows that this thing is best for me, and if he knows that how I best need to be, then why does he even give me a choice? But he does. He gives us a choice. And so blessing our husbands is a choice, just like Christ chose to come and save us. And you see various walks in Christ's life, especially like in the Garden of Gethsemane, where that choice was so real before him, where he even said, "Father, you know, if this can pass from me," that's what he desired. He had no desire to fully go through everything that was going to be before him, because he fully knew what that was going to cost to be separated from his Father. But yet he was willing to do it. He was making a choice to do that. And so that's the same way we have to be with our husbands. And so I want to challenge you. I think the first place to start as we think about blessing our husband is really with prayer. Because I know when my heart is, whether it's just annoyed with something or stressed about something or just distracted by something, that blessing my husband isn't first on my list necessarily, or first in my mind. And so I think it's something we should pray about, that we would be sensitive to that and that we would look for those opportunities to bless our husband. So just, I think starting with prayer and even thanking God for that undeserved blessing of our salvation is the perfect place to start as we pray for our relationship with our husbands and how we can bless him. We can bless him in his weaknesses. Okay, all of our husbands have weaknesses. They all have things that annoy us. They all have sins. And so I think that's where we need to start, reminding ourselves that if giving a blessing to someone is a special, undeserved kind of favor, then that means even when they're sinful. It means even when they're annoying. It means even when they choose to do things differently than we would choose to do them, that we're called to bless him in his weaknesses. And again, as I look at how the Lord blesses me despite all my weaknesses, despite my sin, it brings that into full focus, okay? And I think one way we can do that is, I think we often have an opportunity that we can either add to our husband's weaknesses or we can kind of come alongside them and help them. And I think we have to be careful how we do it so it doesn't sound condescending, but I think there are a lot of ways we can come alongside and help our husbands. If you've been married for any length of time, you know what areas are your husband's weaknesses. You could probably list them off on your handout right now if you wanted to. And maybe nobody even knows those things about your husband, because a lot of times those are those things you only see when you live with somebody day in and day out, because we can kind of cover up those things when we're with other people, you know. We can put on the smile and act like everything's fine, but I think if you think about the areas maybe where your husband's weak, and if you see those opportunities, that rise in front of him that may provoke those things. So let's use the example of, let's say your husband's one of those people who comes home and he just wants it quiet when he comes home. You know, he's taxed from the day at work and he's ready for some peace and quiet, but then he walks into home and it's not always peaceful and quiet when dad gets home, we all know, especially that end of the day kind of time never seemed peaceful at my house when the kids were little. And so, you know, let's say the kids are at each other and there's just, you know, tension going on in the house and you can just see it riling under your husband's, starting to get him irritated, and you know the kinds of words that he would like to say to the kids. Maybe words that aren't real encouraging, maybe words that are angry even, maybe words that are just short-tempered or impatient. I think that's that opportunity we can come alongside our husbands and help them. Not only can we help by just giving assistance with the kids at that point, but I think sometimes even just saying, you know, honey, I know it's a huge temptation to be angry when the kids are like this. I struggle with that too. But I'm going to pray that you can find a way to show them love right now, or to address this in a loving and kind way. Because I know for me, sometimes when my husband can just kind of even point out to me what he sees starting to happen, because sometimes he notices it even before I realize what's going on in my heart, that sometimes it's just those calm little words that he can say to me that just kind of like help me take a breath and think before I say the next word or before I do the next thing. So I want to encourage you, look for ways that maybe you can come alongside him in his weakness and be a blessing to him. I think you have to know your husband to know how doing that would work. And maybe at first it'll be kind of like, he may look at you like, what in the heck, you know, are you saying here? But I think over time he will see what a blessing that can be. Especially when he's facing some kind of a weakness there. I've used this illustration before, but I remember a very specific time that I did not do this. And so you know how you can always look back and see all the opportunities we missed. This is one that stands out in my mind, and I think it's a perfect example of this kind of thing. We lived in Cleveland Heights at the time. We had a big two-story house, well, actually like a three-story house. And we needed to do something with a tall extension ladder, and we didn't have one, and it was just a little job. We weren't going to buy an extension ladder, let alone we didn't have the money to buy a big extension ladder at the time. So he borrowed one from a neighbor. I think he was doing gutters or something. And so he borrowed one from a neighbor, and we used it, and the neighbor was gone when we got done with it, and his garage was closed, so we couldn't return it. And so it was laying in the front yard, and it had taken both of us to move that extension ladder because it was so long. And we were getting ready to go somewhere, and I said, shouldn't we stick it in the backyard? And he's like, no, we'll get it when we come back, you know. So we left, and we came back, and the extension ladder was gone. Somebody had stolen the extension ladder, which I don't know how they got off with this. I mean, you would have thought it would have been noticeable. They would have had to have a truck or something. But anyway, the extension ladder was gone. And of course, my first thought was, I told you so. Like, I knew we should have moved that to the backyard, you know. And I'm sure I probably said that. I have no doubt. That's probably exactly what I said. So think about that scenario, okay? You know my husband felt horrible. You know, now he needed to go buy an extension ladder to replace our neighbors. We didn't have money to buy an extension ladder for ourselves in the first place. That's why we had borrowed it. And then in the end, we were going to spend the money on an extension ladder and still not have an extension ladder. So whatever I said was not helpful. It was not a blessing. But think of the things I could have said to him at that time. You know, there were still ways I could have been a blessing to him that could have helped him through that time, because no doubt he was kicking himself. Why did I do that? Why didn't I listen to her? You know, why didn't I just take 5 minutes to do that? But I could have instead said something like, you know what, hon, it's okay. We'll pinch on, you know, groceries this month. We'll save up the money. It'll be okay, you know. So I think we have many of those times when we really have a choice whether or not we want to come alongside our husband and bless him in the midst of a weakness, or whether we want to make it worse, really. And I think we hold a lot of power in our hands, ladies, to make that choice. And it's a very big choice. And, you know, I remember at that time I was so upset. I'm thinking, you know, we borrowed this ladder because we'd already talked about the fact that we did not have the money to buy an extension ladder. It was just not a priority in our lives at that point that we were going to have money for. And so I remember how I felt and feeling so annoyed, like, why? And I think I said 3 or 4 times, shouldn't we move this to the backyard? Like, it was one of those things I felt pretty strongly about. But again, it's a choice, and it's a choice I think we have probably daily kinds of ways that we see those things, that we can either come alongside them and bless them when they're struggling, or we can make it worse for them. Another way we can do that is to give him a purposeful, undeserved, or unexpected blessing. You know, I think we often see ways that things happen in the household before they get home and the kids are restless, and just those ways that maybe we can purposely bless him when what we really feel like is, I hope he's going to bless me right now because I really need a blessing right now. You know, maybe if you look around and you think you could probably make a list of ways that you would like your husband to maybe come alongside you and help you, or things you even just want him to notice and be grateful for and to even thank you for. How about think about it the other way for a second and just think of the ways that perhaps you can purposely give him some kind of an undeserved or unexpected blessing. I can think of many ways. Sometimes for my husbands, it's the littlest things that I wouldn't even think of. But when I do them, they're just a little thing off his plate, or it's just one less thing he has to think about, or it's one less thing he has to go do. I know even right now with it just being the two of us at home, there's not as many little jobs around. I don't know. There just seems to be, there's less trash. There's less of all those things. Those days are coming late. And sometimes it's those little things, like he's always just taking care of the trash. Well, the kids always took care of the trash. Now the kids aren't there, so he takes care of the trash. And so even last week, it was just one of those crazy weeks for him. And so I had gathered up the trash and gotten the thing out to the bin before he got home. And it was one of those itty bitty things that probably took me 5 minutes, literally. I mean, it really wasn't anything. And even when I did it at first, I thought, oh, he can do that. I've got so many other things I need to do. But I thought, no, I know he's going to come home. He's going to be tired. He's probably not even going to remember to do it. Then I'm going to have to remind him. And I thought, I'll just do it. No big deal. And I didn't do it so he would even notice. I didn't even know if he'd remember his trash night to even thank me that I had done it. But he came to me later and he goes, you know what? He goes, I know that really wasn't that big of a deal, but he goes, it really was a big blessing to me, just that you took care of that and I didn't need to think about it and stuff. So look for those little ways, just those little ways that you can do something for him that he wouldn't expect that will bless him in some way. Bless your husbands with help. Now, we know in Scripture, in Genesis 2, it tells us the Lord created us so that our husbands wouldn't be alone and that they would have a helper. It said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So we know that God's intention is for us to be our husband's helpmate. And what an opportunity right there to be his blessing. One easy way, I think, to do this is to help him glorify God. Help him in his relationship, his walk with the Lord. And I want you to think about this in different ways, because again, this is going to look different in every marriage. That's why I think that's why Scripture doesn't give us like this to-do list, because God knows we all have different personalities, we all have different home situations, just different spiritual makeups, different things that are important to us. And so I think you have to really stop and think about what this would look like in your marriage. But think about his relationship with God. Does he maybe just need encouragement in that area? Or does he maybe need a gentle confrontation if you see a spiritual walk lagging? Does he maybe just need a silent prayer? Or does he maybe need you to come alongside him and say, hey, hon, let's just stop and pray about this together? Does he maybe need just a gentle touch or just a quiet word about something in his spiritual life? Or does it need to be a longer conversation that you sit down and you say, hey, hon, can we talk about this? I'm concerned about this. I think we have a responsibility to be a help and encouragement to help our husband in their spiritual walk and helping them glorify the Lord. Again, we see things about them that nobody else in the world sees. And so if you think about even the church and why God gave us the church to that we can help each other grow, that we can see each other and that we can walk beside each other. And I know I'm grateful for friends that I'm close enough to that will say to me, you know, Bobette, like, I'm concerned about this area. That's a blessing, because I would hate to think that I was left to my own devices for the rest of my life. We need people alongside us. My husband, one way he does that for me, he can tell when I'm like, have too many things going in my head. I always talk about I have too many channels on. I need to shut a few channels off. So he calls it Mr. Thinker. He'll just tell me I need to turn Mr. Thinker off. It's one of those silly things. But when he says that, that's my husband's way of saying, like, hon, you need to quit thinking for yourself, and you need to think about where God is in this picture, and you need to set some of those things aside and just put them in the Lord's lap and let them go, because you can't control these things. So that little phrase that he uses over time has meant much bigger things than just turn Mr. Thinker off. That's his way of saying it, so it's not offensive. No one else even, you know, he'll even say we're in front of somebody sometimes, you know, and they kind of look at him like, what? But I know what it means. It's a blessing to me when he says that to me, because it does make me stop, and it makes me put things into a different perspective in my mind. It makes me take a minute, and it makes me think about what direction I'm headed, and maybe I need to head a different direction in my thinking. So I want you to just think about that with your husband. Is there a way that you can glorify him by helping him grow in his walk with Christ, helping him glorify God? Help him with his work. I mean, we see in Genesis, God's intention when he created Eve was that she would come alongside Adam and help him subdue and nurture the earth. And that hasn't changed. It may look different today, but it hasn't changed what God's intention for us to do to help him with his work. And again, I think there's little things that we can do. I know for my husband, just fixing his lunch is huge. That's just a huge way to help him with his work, because when he's at work, he has no time to go grab something, or when he's headed out the door and the phone's already ringing and he's already got, you know, 10 emails that are waiting to be answered since he got up in the morning, the last thing he wants to do is have to think about what food he's going to take to work. And so just me having thought ahead and fixing his lunch, even if it's really simple and not real exciting, is a help to him in his work. But I think sometimes, you know, we can feel kind of separated from our husband's work. I mean, unless your husband works at home, then you'll see a lot of ways probably that you can help him. But I would suggest this. This has been what's most helpful to me, because I wouldn't know how to help my husband with his job in any way, or would I really even think I could. But I have just gotten in the habit, and this, we started this years ago, that I would just ask him on Sunday nights, so how can I help you this week? And it's surprising. Sometimes he doesn't really even have anything, or he won't think of anything, or he'll even say, I'll let you know later, you know, if I think of something. But sometimes there's just little things that he'll think, well, you know what, you could do this for me, or you could do that for me. And sometimes they are even things associated with his work, with his job. There's been times he said, you know, there's this person I'm concerned about, and I was just thinking if I could just, you know, get a card for him, you know, could you just get me a card so I can send him a note? Or, you know, could you make this meal for this person that is going through this? Ask your husband how you can help him with his work. It may be even just work there at home, but even with his job, ask him if there's some way you can help him. He may look at you like, really? I guess you have to be ready for the answer. But I think even that offering, that choosing to even offer the blessing to him, is sometimes even a blessing to our husbands. Just even that you've thought enough about his life and what's going on outside the home is a blessing to him. Help him with his role as a father. I think this is a huge area, ladies. You most likely are with your kids more than your husband is, and so you see way more of what's going on with your kids. You know where the problems areas are, you know what the struggles are, you know what the good things are that's going on. So help him in that role. And I don't think that means, I think we can do this in the wrong way when we tell him how he should be disciplining or how he should handle every situation. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I think just little bits of information or insights that you can share with him, especially out of the heat of the moment with the kids, can be really helpful to him. Even, you know, when he gets home, just letting him know, you know, just a heads up, like, we've had a really rough day and this is how I've handled it, but just want you to know. Like, that can be helpful to him to not walk in blindside, you know, to that you've got this cranky toddler that has just been off the wall all day long and you've been trying all day to get things under control. That's helpful to him to even know what's ahead and what he may have to deal with. I know it's very tempting when my husband would walk in the door, it's like, here, as I handed him whichever kid was the biggest struggle that day. You know, literally, as you're trying to fix up with one hand to hold the baby, the first thing you do is plop him in their arms. And not that that's necessarily wrong, but I think we still need to free them up to have some fun with the kids. You know, sometimes dad has things on his list to do when he gets home and responsibilities, but give him that opportunity to have some time to play with the kids, because his time with them is very short. And even though I know we're stuck with really hard situations all day long, and sometimes it doesn't feel like that's a benefit to us, it is, because we have so many laughing moments with our kids and so many spontaneous moments, and you get to see so many things that happen in your kid's life that your husband will never get to see. So, you know, whether it's a Snapchat you can send him, I mean, I didn't have that luxury when my kids were little, but, you know, you send him a picture during the day of something they've just done, or you send him a text and tell him something funny that they just said. I think those are ways that you can help him in his role as a father, that he doesn't miss out on some of those special things that by the end of the day you're not even thinking about that thing that happened in the morning. So I think that's another way we can come alongside and bless our husbands. Help him by serving him. Philippians 2 is a challenge to me. In verses 3 through 8, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on human form, being a slave, humbling himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." What are those verses telling us? It goes back to that whole idea again, if we look at Christ and what he did for us, that he became a servant for our sake. That's literally what Christ did on this earth when he came. He came to be our servant. We even saw that example of him washing the disciples' feet, and, you know, they were shocked, like, "Why are you washing my feet? I should be washing your feet." That he put himself in position as a servant. And I think as wives, we can often think about the list of all the things we've done around the house or for our kids or for our husbands, and we can start to get that feeling like, well, it's about time somebody gives back to me. I mean, trust me, I felt that way many days, especially as a young mom. But when we look at this verse, we see that, you know, that's what God's warning us about, that, like, literally being a servant, Christ came and gave up everything, expecting nothing in return from us. And that's the way we have to look at our relationships with our husband. Now, that doesn't negate his responsibility before the Lord. So, you know, it doesn't wash him of all responsibility. But when I can look at him not expecting those things, then I can keep looking for ways to serve him. And so I just want to challenge you, just think, what can you do to serve your husband? What will bless him in that way of being a service to him? Okay, let's think about the area of love. Let's think about how we can bless him with our love. We see, again, a sacrificial picture of love from Christ. We see just even in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That idea that he blessed us with his love by sending Christ. And so I think one of those first ways we can start is blessing him with our physical love. I know these years of little ones, like, you just feel like you've been hung on all day and slobbered on all day, and, you know, sometimes even the kisses are like, ugh, I guess that was a kiss. You know they're meant that way from a messy toddler with food on their face, but sometimes we just, like, want our space by the time our husband gets home. But I think we need to think about how we can bless him with our physical love. If you think about it like this, ladies, you are the only one that can bless him in that way. Okay, so that's a pretty big responsibility that God has given you. So don't overlook that area. My husband was asking me the other night what I was teaching, and he looked at my notes, as he often does, and He laughed. He goes, oh, you can just do that one point. You're done. That's all you need. And all the husbands will thank me. So if you want to throw away the rest of the teaching, you can. And just remember this one point when you go home. Your husband will be thrilled. But seriously, I do want to challenge you, because I think these years, it's very easy to overlook that area and to even just feel undesirable, because it's like, you know, you're... How many days do you get your hair washed and brushed and blow dried and makeup put on and a clean shirt put on? Not every day, I know. So think about that area, how you can bless him with your physical love. Blessing him with your respect. We see in Scripture that we are called to respect our husbands. To respect him means to show him reverence, to treat him as someone special. Is that the way you treat your husband, that he's someone special, that you want to treat him with reverence? And the Amplified Bible, I love how it gives this picture. Listen to this. Ephesians 5:33 that says the wife should respect her husband. This is what the Amplified Bible says. Now remember, the Amplified Bible, if you think about amplification, making something louder, bigger, that's what an Amplified Bible does. It takes a word that's in the literal translation and then it blows it up. It gives us all those American English words that we can think of what that looks like. Let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband. That she notices him, that she regards him, that she honors him, that she prefers him, that she esteems him, that she defers to him, that she praises him, that she loves him, that she admires him exceedingly. That's a pretty long list of ways that we can respect our husband. And not easy ways. But I think you can see that when we think about how we can show respect to our husband is we just defer in little things to them. I can't tell you how many times there's something in our household that I have an idea and my husband has an idea, because we think out of two different sides of the brain. And I'll tell you the truth, sometimes I think my ideas are way better because I just have more insight in what's going on at the house. But me just deferring to him, especially when it's just like something that has no significance in life really, is a huge thing, because my sinful side wants things done my way because I think my way is the best, and I can give you a list of reasons if you want to ask me why I think my way is the best sometimes. And probably sometimes I do tell him why I think my way is the best. And again, it's not about like, well, does that mean I can never have my way? No. He has a responsibility, too, to listen to your ideas. But I think one huge way we can bless him in that way and showing him respect is that we're deferred, just deferring to him, just letting it be the way he wants to be. And I saw that a lot when my kids were little, and I don't think I was very good at that. Because, again, I felt like I had more insight on the whole parenting thing because of how much time I spent with my kids. But I want to encourage you that I think even with your kids, deferring to your husband is what God's calling us to do when we show them respect. Doesn't mean that you're not still going to have a conversation later about it, and maybe even talk about why you were suggesting handling something a different way. But deferring to them can go a long ways in blessing them. Sometimes just the words we use. Respect him with your words. Again, sometimes it's the smallest little choice of what word I use that can be either a blessing or a curse to my husband, okay? You know, I can be strong with my words. I like to, I don't know, like I can exaggerate my words, I think, sometimes. And so, you know, there can be something that I see is a problem, but I will make it sound like it's a huge problem, okay? Just by the way I say it to him. And so I can show him great respect. I can show him great love. It is a blessing to him when I temper my words and kind of put them in perspective before I say them. That takes some thought on my part because it's not what first comes out of my mouth. So I want to encourage you, think about the words you use with your husband. Isaiah 54 says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak." Think about that. God has given us a tongue that knows how to speak when we know him. Okay, it should mean that a heart that loves God first and loves my husband knows how to speak to him. But yet my sinful self has a tongue that wants to erupt things that are not helpful or not encouraging. I think another way that we can be a blessing in this way is reproving him in love when it needs to be done. There are times that our husband needs to be reproved. And again, we're the person that most well knows his sin and most well knows where he struggles. And so we have to be very careful how we do this. And I think a lot of it is finding the right time. I know I used to think like, okay, if I just do this right away when I see it, it'll just take care of the problem. And usually what that would make happen would be an argument would ensue, because then he would feel attacked or he would feel humiliated or whatever. And then he would strike back. And so I learned over time that I was better off really thinking and praying about something a little bit longer term than what I would like to before I brought something up. And sometimes I found that even just my hormones or even just the framework of the day would change what I even thought needed to be confronted and what didn't. Okay, because when we're having a bad day, then it's very easy to see everybody else's faults, especially our husbands, and to be ready to pounce on them about what they've done wrong or, you know, something that we see in their life that we think is a problem. So I want to encourage you, when you think about reproving your husband, do this very carefully, very prayerfully. I remember one situation, it was something we had talked about several times, and so it wasn't the first time we had talked about it. And it was just an area I saw lacking in my husband's life, and I didn't see a real concern on his part to make any change in it. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to pray about this for like a week. I'm going to really pray about how and when I can approach him about this. So I did. And then I thought, well, but I know what's going to happen. I'm going to say these things, and he's going to sit there, and he's just going to look at me. Because my husband's not a man of a lot of words, and he's not an arguer. So he will just do that. He will just look at me, and you want to say, did you hear me? So what do you think? Aren't you going to say something? So I prayed about it that week, I kind of was confronted with that idea, like, can you keep your mouth shut if he doesn't, after you've shared it, can you keep your mouth shut if he doesn't say anything? And I knew that, no, I probably couldn't, because I'm one of those people, when I talk to somebody about something, I want a response. I don't even care sometimes if the response comes back against what I'm saying. I just want a response. I just want feedback from the person I'm talking to, because to me that's what conversation is, you know, the back and forth. Well, my husband's one of those who is very slow to speak. He's very careful before he speaks, which is a good thing, because when I'm quick to speak and he's slow to speak, that kind of helps balance things out a little bit. So I just was really convicted by the Lord, you know, are you going to be able to just sit and be quiet after you say it if he doesn't say anything? And I thought, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I'll do that. So we found some time after the kids went to bed, and I had told him I wanted to talk to him about something, and so I brought this issue up, and I remember exactly where we were sitting. We were sitting on couch in the love seat, and I was here, and he was here, so we were kind of at that diagonal. And so I heartfelt shared this concern and why I had it, and again, it wasn't anything new to him. And he sat there, and he did not say a word. I thought he was dead. I don't think he even blinked at me. Didn't say a word. And so I sat there and I thought, okay, I can wait a little while, Lord. So I sat there and waited a little while, what seemed like an eternity, and he still didn't say anything. He didn't get up and leave. He didn't turn around and start doing anything else. He just sat there. And so I'm like getting a little like, how long are we going to sit here? And so inside I'm thinking, okay, Lord, surely you would want me to say something more now, because obviously I didn't say enough the first time. And I thought, no, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. So I sat there. And I could see the clock. The clock was on a shelf kind of over behind him a little bit. I could see the clock. And so literally the clock kept moving. And I'm not a quiet person, and I don't usually just sit. I'm just not a sitter. Like, I'm always doing something. So it was even starting to bother me that I was wasting time sitting on the love seat waiting for my husband to respond to me. Like, well, do I just get up and walk away? What do I do? Because, you know, so I sat there a little bit longer, and I thought, okay, I was just really convicted. You just need to pray. You just need to keep praying for him. Because I knew in my heart, I was having a hard time in my head, but I knew in my heart that I wasn't going to change my husband in this area. It was going to have to be something between him and the Lord. I had a responsibility, and I do believe I had a responsibility to bring it up to him, because I saw this in his life and I was concerned about it. But at the same time, I wasn't going to be the one who was going to say just the right word that was going to change whatever in his heart needed to be changed. I would like to think I was, and I think many times I speak as if I think I'm going to be the Holy Spirit. And my husband has literally said to me before, oh, so you think you're the Holy Spirit now? He has said that to me. So you know that I have that tendency to act like I'm the Holy Spirit sometimes. So that was really, really hard for me to be quiet. So I sat there, and I'm not lying, it was at least 10 or 15 minutes went by. Not a sound, not a breath, nothing, not an eyelash batted or anything. And he quietly got up, and he went upstairs. And so I'm like, do I follow him? No, probably not a good idea, because what are you going to do when you get up there then? Are you just going to stare at him, or are you going to say something? I knew what I would do. I would say something, and I knew, because I'd been praying about it for a week, I knew that if nothing else, the Lord was working on me. And at that point, I sat there on the couch, and I just thought, Lord, like, okay, maybe this is more about me right now. Maybe it's more about me learning to know how to reprove him in love, but then how to just stop and let you do the work you need to do in him. And I think that happens with our kids sometimes too, and you'll see that the older they get, that sometimes, you know, you just need to say what you need to say, and then you need to just leave it for a little while and let them wrestle with it and let the Lord wrestle with them. Obviously, a two-year-old, that's not what you're going to do. But as your kids get older, I think you're going to see that that's really an important thing for us to learn how to do. And so I want to challenge you with your husband. The end of that story was we didn't talk about it again for a long time, and that was really, really hard for me. It was really hard for me that he did not even acknowledge or say, yeah, I know you're right, or yeah, I know I need to work on that, or anything. He never said anything else about it. But I did see the Lord just gradually begin to work on his heart in that area. And I'd like to think that I think it was partially about me. I think the Lord was teaching me a very important thing, because trust me, I have come back to that image in my mind many times when I've wanted to say one more thing to get my point across, or when I've wanted to bring up something one more time because I feel like he hasn't heard me or hasn't responded in the way that I think he should have. I've been reminded of that time that I need to sometimes just say it in love, and then I need to just leave it and let the Lord take it from there. I think another way that we can bless our husbands is with companionship. And the reason I bring this up is I think it's very hard for us when the kids are little to make that transition from being the two of you to the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, however many of you, and to still think about being a companion to our husband. Because again, you have lots of little bodies you're being companions with and all the things that go with that. But I want to challenge you, plan some special times with your husband. We did a lot of indoor date nights. We didn't have family around to do babysitting, and we didn't have the money to just throw away on babysitting. And it was way cheaper back then than it is now. And even then, we didn't feel like we had the money for it. So we would just plan stay-at-home dates. And I would like to think that my husband would be the one who would say, oh, let's do this on Friday night. Or how about, you know, I've been thinking, we need to spend some time together. How would we do that? Well, that didn't happen at my house. That just wasn't my husband. He was very content to just, you know, come home and plop down on the couch or fall asleep on the couch. He wasn't, you know, at the end of his week, he wasn't spending his week thinking like, what can we do to be together this weekend? But it was a huge blessing to him when I would take the initiative to plan that. So I want to encourage you, just plan some special times with your husband. I think they can be the simplest things. You know, sometimes we would just pull out old photo albums and just reminisce. You know, it didn't cost a penny. You know, sometimes it'd mean I'd get a thing of ice cream and we'd watch a movie or something. You know, just whatever you can find to do. Find those ways that you can still be his companion, because he married you. He didn't marry the kids. He married you. And you two became a family long before there were kids in the picture. And I know that I missed that as a wife and a mom after the kids came along, especially when they were little and there was so much energy required for that. But I was often tired by the end of the day, or especially by the end of the week, and so I wasn't even thinking about, like, oh, I just want to spend time together. So I want to encourage you, think about that area, how you can just be a good companion to your husband. I found that sometimes it was even doing things, you know, that I didn't necessarily enjoy, but it became fun just because I was with him. Now, there were times we also decided that it was just better that if I wasn't his companion, like at sports events, which some of you can't understand, Mandy Kumas, but, you know, my husband would be given free tickets to a game, and so then it would be like, well, let's go, you know, it was a night out, it was free, we'd go, and I'd fall asleep during the game. So it happened once on very close rows at a baseball game, and a ball was coming our direction. At that point, he goes, you are not going to any more games with me. So we had to find other ways for me to be a companion, but he could find somebody else to be a better sports companion. I wasn't the one for that. But I want to encourage you, nurture your friendship with your husband. If you think about it, he should still be your best friend. I mean, you know, it's always fun to watch couples that are dating and being on the other side of this now as a mom. It's fun just to see that friendship that develops in a dating relationship and just, you know, how they see each other as their best friend. Don't lose sight of that now that you've been married X number of years and there's X number of kids around. Nurture that friendship with your husband, because the reality is, ladies, he's probably going to be around a lot longer than the kids are going to be around. And I can say that now, not having my kids around, like, if we hadn't nurtured that relationship, if I hadn't continued to make him my companion and my best friend during those times that the kids were little, then I can tell you what happens at this stage of life when it's just the two of you left. And I see it happen. I see it happening to friends of ours now. You know, they just have nothing in common. They don't even know how to spend time with each other. It's like they're strangers that have lived together all these years. But while the kids were there, it was easier because there was all that additional distraction and people and, you know, relationships and stuff. But it will be noticeable when every day you walk in and it's just the two of you again. And so I want to encourage you, now is the time to do that, not after the kids leave, not after the kids are even older and out of the house more doing their own thing. Now is the time, when the kids are little, to keep building that friendship with your husband. I think we can't talk about how we bless our husbands without talking about submission. Bless him with submission to his leadership. Ephesians 5:22 and 24 tells us that wives are submit to their husbands as to the Lord. And so again, we see that example of, this is about our relationship with the Lord. As we choose to submit to the Lord in everything, that's that same model that God's giving us of how we are to submit to our husbands, because he's chosen to put them over us. And so I want to encourage you to think about ways that you need to submit to his decisions. And again, I think this is an area that's hard. It's a constant struggle. If I looked at Scott's and my personality, I have more of a overt leadership type of personality, like a stronger kind of, he's the more quiet one, although he leads in a very quiet way. I mean, he often reminds me when I try to think that I could be a better leader than he could be, he reminds me, well, I do run a building of, you know, 70, I don't know, 80, 100 employees and 800 or 900 kids, so I think I can handle the house, you know. It kind of puts me in my place, because I don't see him in the way I think of a leader, okay? But the Lord has gifted each of our husbands in a different way. The point is, he has put them in a position of leadership, and that is the point, the place that God chose to put them in. And so even if I have some leadership qualities, those leadership qualities are meant to help him in his leadership, not to come up and overrule him in his leadership. And it's very hard with my kind of personality to put myself in that back seat and to say, okay, how can I use even the leadership abilities that God has given me to come alongside him and help him as his helpmate, instead of make him feel like I'm trying to take things over for him, or that he can't do it well enough and that I can do it better. And so I want to challenge you to think about ways that you need to submit to his decisions. It's the little things, it's the big things. As we talked about that word defer, that's where that idea of submission comes in, when you just defer to his decision. Like I said, the little things as well as the big life-altering ones. I've given many illustrations over the years when I've talked about submission of what that's looked like, and that's a hard struggle for me. It's still hard after all these years, but I can tell you this, and I was sharing this with somebody the other day, that I think the more we are obedient to Christ, there's an amazing blessing that he gives us, and that is not only helping us to be obedient, but helping us to see that his way really is best, that God's way really is best, even though sometimes we think that we've got a way to argue why our way is better. And trust me, I've tried all those arguments over the years. That it is the little things and it's the big things that we can choose to defer to him in. Again, it doesn't mean you can never give your input. It doesn't mean that there aren't times that you do have a better idea or a better approach to something. And I think we are to come alongside our husbands and help them by sharing those ideas, but ultimately that we can bless him with being submissive to his leadership. And the other area that I think we can extremely bless our husbands is with our home. Bless him with a peaceful home. You've probably heard all the different sayings, you know, if mommy ain't happy, nobody's happy. You know, the wife is the one who sets the temperature in the home, all those things. It's very true. We have a lot of impact on the tone of our home. And I think the way we interact with our kids, the way we take care of it, all those ways have an impact on us having a peaceful home. And so I think one way we do that is learning to manage our home well. Doesn't mean having a perfect Better Homes and Gardens house. It means just managing in a way that it helps your husband, okay? There are some things like, and I think this again, every husband has different things that are important to him. I had a friend whose husband, what was important to him was that the carpets were vacuumed every day. He liked seeing just smooth carpet lines. Like, he liked seeing that. My husband wouldn't notice if there was ever a carpet line. Like, that's just not important to him. So that's not, I don't need to vacuum the carpet every day as far as he's concerned. But there are other things that are important to him, and it's just the little things, like just having things ready when you need them is a big deal to him, because he doesn't always think ahead. So if I can just be a step ahead and know that, you know, that there are clean dark socks in his drawer, or that, you know, that he doesn't have to go hunting through a big pile of laundry to find those when he's running late in the morning. That's a way that I can manage our home in a way that blesses him. And so I think, again, sometimes it's asking him, you know, what would make home a better place for you? That's a dangerous question, because he may give you some ideas of things you don't particularly like to do. But I know when I've asked my husband that over the years, I've gotten a better feel for what really is a blessing to him. And I found that there were things I was spending time on that really he could care less about. And over time, I was able to just kind of say, okay, then I'm not going to make him a big deal either. But I'm going to instead put some of my energy and time into some of these things that are a big deal to him. So think about how you can manage your home in a way that will be a blessing to your husband. Set a tone of peace and joy in your home, and I think this is big. Our attitude can have so much influence on even our husband's attitude, on our kids' attitudes. You know, I know when I had days when I was impatient and, you know, just irritable, how much that rubbed off on my kids. You know, all it takes is you snapping at them a few times, and before you know it, they're just being as ornery back to you. We can have a huge influence on the tone of our home. So I want to challenge you that this is an area to just prayerfully look at and stop and think. And for me, sometimes it's looking to say, okay, why is it not peaceful right now? Like, what's going on inside me that's keeping me from just having joy right now? And so that's a real heart introspective kind of thing before the Lord that I think we have to do, to just stop and say, okay, Lord, like, sometimes I don't even know. I mean, sometimes I'll just blame it on the hormones. I don't even know why I feel this way, you know? And that's okay. I still have a responsibility to the Lord to be able to try to set that aside and to try to put on loving words and patient words, even though I don't necessarily feel like it. Okay, I've had women say, well, isn't that being kind of hypocritical if you're really feeling this way and you're acting this way? Well, I think we need to be hypocritical towards our feelings. We need to be obedient to the Lord and how to respond versus listening to our feelings. So if you want to call that hypocritical, then maybe it is, but I think it's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be obedient to him. So think about the tone that you're setting in your households and how that could be a huge blessing to your husband. You know, even if it's been a really bad day and you feel like all day long you've been dealing with temper tantrums or a sick kid or, you know, a problem with the washer that isn't wringing the clothes dry, whatever it is, think about how you can still set a tone of peace and joy when your husband comes home. Doesn't mean that those problems aren't going to have to be dealt with and that you're not going to have to talk about them and they're still going to be there, but just how you approach them can make a real difference in your home. You know, I want to encourage you ladies, if anything we've talked about today has pricked you or kind of like given you that little sucker punch, I want to encourage you. First of all, you're not on your own. I loved Motherhood Connection for that reason when I was young, just that, you know, you're with other women who are going through the same things. And sure, I think all our lives look a little bit different, but we're going through many of the same struggles. And even those of us that are past that, we haven't forgotten. I've forgotten exactly what it feels like. There's a lot of things I've forgotten, but I do remember those struggles that are just very unique to this time of life when the kids are little. It is a unique time. But if you let these years go by and ignore the ways to grow in these areas, it's not just going to suddenly be a switch that you just switch back on because now the kids are 10 and 12 or because now the kids are out of the house. It's just not a switch that you switch. It's a life of growing to be more Christ-like, and it's a daily walk. It's a daily learning. It's a daily confessing when we fail. I want to encourage you with these words in Galatians 6. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Think about those words. We're being encouraged there from God to not grow weary, to keep pressing on, to keep doing what we know is good, because someday we will reap a harvest. I think there are many temporal blessings that come in our lives. Like, I know I'm reaping the blessing despite all my sin, despite all the things that I didn't do right throughout the years in our marriage. I know I'm reaping a blessing now in our relationship for the things that I did work hard at and the ways that the Lord now just has chosen to bless us, that we can enjoy these days. I mean, it's great being an empty nester. I miss my kids like crazy, but it's great. I love it. You know, it's like like being alone when you were first married again. It's great. But that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't continued to work on those things throughout the years. Again, I don't want to give you a picture that like I did that perfectly, because I know, and I still don't do it perfectly. There are still many ways that, you can ask my husband, I'm sure he could give you a list. But you know, I think if you think about it, you know, like an athlete isn't just going to say, well, even if they're injured, usually an athlete doesn't just give up for those months of injury. They're finding some way to still, whether it's just mentally stay in their game or whether it's to work out some other part of their body, they still stay committed to where they want to get at the end, what that end goal is. And so I think we have to look at that end goal and we have to say, okay, I may have a lot of hindrances right now. You know, they may be named Johnny, Susie, and Sam, or I may have a lot of hindrances right now. Just, you know, maybe you're working a job and being a partially stay-at-home mom and, you know, trying to be a good housewife and all those things at the same time. You may have hindrances to that. But don't grow weary. Don't give up. There are so many blessings that you will see in your life as you are obedient to the Lord. Again, not because we deserve Him, but He just chooses to bless us. And He makes it easier as we strive to work to serve Him and to honor Him. He will make it easier for you. You know, I find it easier now to say something to my husband and to just let it be and to keep my mouth shut. It's easier now than it used to be. Doesn't mean that it's still not hard, but it's easier than it used to be. It's easier to submit now because I've seen how God has used that idea of submission in our marriage and how it's brought blessing into our marriage. It's easier. Is it easy? No, but it's easier. But then there's that eternal reward that someday we will look back on this and I think we will see things in such a different perspective. We were talking this morning about our kids and how they can be so funny when they're little and say things, and just it reminds you when they say something so weird or so out of context, like how their world is just different than our world. We just see life very differently than our kids because we have a bigger, you know, world view. We have a bigger life experience than them. I see that even with my adult kids now. You know, we'll talk about something and it's kind of like my husband and I will look at each other and we have this little line. We say, it's their turn now. Like, we can give advice, but some of these things they're just going to have to learn on their own. You know, it's like, and so you kind of say, okay, great. And you just kind of let them learn, you know, because you can't tell them everything to do. But that idea, I think, when we think about that, where was I going with this? Totally lost my train of thought. Yeah, where was I going? Our kids have a different perspective. I think in eternity, we will feel the same way that we do right now as parents with our kids. We'll be like, now I get it. You know, now I can see in full what I only saw partially then. And Scripture uses that illustration. You know, we can see God and His character, and we see a little bit of why He tells us to be submissive, why He tells us to show love even to our enemies. You know, we can see that in an earthly mind, but we're still pretty inexperienced at this, ladies, and we're still pretty young. And we're not fully who God intends us to be yet. And so I think in eternity we are going to look back. And so I know when I look back, I want to see that I took those advantages to be a blessing to my husband. I want to see those ways that I had to keep sacrificing and keep giving up things I wanted in order to bless him. And I think what we're going to see is all the other blessings we didn't even see that came out of that. You know, sometimes we don't see it here. I think we're going to see even more how it really was a battle against our will against God's is really what it was. So let's pray. I want to have a little time for discussion at our tables. I think, again, this is a teaching that can be very personal. I don't feel like you have to share anything that is hard for you to share. But at the same time, I think our discussions can be very helpful in that there's just something really refreshing when you hear somebody else say, oh, yeah, I struggle with that, too. Not sharing about your husband and what his faults are. I mean, like, you have no idea what I said to him, what I discussed with him on that couch that night. You just know there was a problem that I needed to talk to him about, okay? So, you know, I think we need to be careful that we protect our husband and that we don't talk about him in an, you know, demeaning way or put him in a light. I would never want you to know all the things that I see bad about my husband, because hopefully you don't see any of those things, you know? That's not fair to him, just like I wouldn't want him to tell you all the things about me. So think about that during your discussion. But I think being able to share our hearts with each other can be such an encouragement, because this is hard for all of us. And it doesn't matter whether you've been married 2 years, it doesn't matter whether you have two kids, or whether you've been married 20 years and have five kids, you know, it's, or 10 kids. it's a challenge. But the Lord is good and He comes alongside us. So let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for the blessing of your salvation. Lord, without that, we couldn't even begin to be a blessing to our husbands. I know, Lord, that it is in picturing what you have done for me that it gives me the grace and the strength and the motivation to even want to try to be a blessing to my husband. Lord, I thank you that though we don't deserve your love, that you give it to us. And I pray, Lord, that we would seriously sit before you and contemplate the ways, Lord, that maybe we aren't being a blessing to our husband, that we would prayerfully look at our hearts and see what gets in the way of us being a blessing, Lord, those heart desires and that heart selfishness that always rears its ugly head. Lord, help us to be humble before you. Help us to choose to bless our husbands, Lord, and to find ways, to find out even how to do that better by asking him. Lord, I pray you would bless our discussion. Thank you for this time together as women, as moms. Lord, and even as we think about the year coming to a close, Lord, I pray that we would use these relationships that we've built here to encourage each other even over the summer, Lord, whether it be a play date at the park or a phone call during the week, Lord. Help us to build godly relationships with other women that we can encourage each other, that we can have someone that we can call and say, hey, could you pray for me today? Or that we could text and say, have a rough day today, just pray for me. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We're coming.